on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
And I want to say a big thank you to Ella Webb for the World Wide Web show. All right, here we are with tonight's installment of the Orient Hour. Okay, good evening, everybody. My name's Billy Herring, and welcome to the Orient Hour show. I'm joined today by Jamie Stripe. Jamie?
Good evening, Billy. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody.
How you doing, Jamie? All good?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah. Good week?
Yes.
Lovely.
Especially with Orient winning.
And we've also got Andy Gilson here as well with us today. Andy's doing the buttons for us, but he's feeling a bit shy today, so he said he might not speak, but we'll see how we go from there. So you can watch us live online as well today. So if you go onto the Phoenix FM website, you can actually watch us through the webcams. We give you a little wave there. Hopefully you can see us if any of you are tuning in. All right, well, we've got a lot to get through this week. Obviously, we've got two games to talk about. We've got the transfer window to talk about. And we've also got new signings to talk about, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, put the flags out, everybody.
All right, well, let's get to Cheltenham Town first of all then. So, we lined up in a 4-3-3 formation on Saturday with Lawrence Figueroa in goal, and the back four being Ling, Coulson, Willison and Brophy, McAnuff, Cisse and Wright in the middle of midfield, with Wilkinson, DJ and Louis Dennis up front. And the subs were Sarge, Happy, Clay, JMD, Dayton, Angle and Sotiriou. Jamie, what do you think about the starting lineup?
Starting lineup probably driven by what we had available after the COVID outbreak. I wouldn't say it was Ross's first choice that he started with. Probably went with what was, you know, had an ask around the squad and said, you know, are you fit? And I think that's what kind of drove that selection. Looking at it logically, you just said that Happy would have started, definitely. Widdowson started, you know, starting the centre-half is always a problem for me anyway. And it kind of showed, really, in the performance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I said it was a bit lacklustre, it seemed. But then again, you know, can we understand that? Obviously, we don't know what the virus has taken out of the team, obviously, with so many of them being down ill and without 2 weeks of training as well.
Well, the thing is, I mean, anyone who's had the flu or anything like that will know that, you know, it takes time to get back to full fitness and, you know, feeling your old self. I've got a funny feeling that a few people were, you know, still carrying the effects of that. In saying that, I still think we were very slow out of the blocks on Saturday, and I think Cheltenham took full advantage of that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that to me was really emphasised by the marking for both the goals. I mean, I wrote down here, so the first goal, both players being marked by Cisse and Brophy managed to get free in the box. And actually, they seemed to challenge each other, the two Cheltenham players, for the first header. Great save by Lawrence Figueroa. And then obviously Sam Ling's unlucky to put into his own net. But again, was he slow to react to the second ball, would you say?
Well, the whole build-up to that goal was pretty poor. I mean, Figueroa did actually make a pretty good save there. You can count himself well unlucky. The way it ran, it just seems that either Coulson or Ling couldn't get the touch needed to clear it. I'm not sure that Ling could have done that much more about it. I'm more worried what happened in the build-up to that. Our right flank, yet again, was exposed. The guy had plenty of room to operate. And again, he put a decent crossover. The guy took full advantage. And there was one behind in quick time. But, you know, the writing was on the wall because Cheltenham came out of the box quite quickly. And they reminded me a lot of Northampton Town last year. You know, they got the ball forward quickly.
Big physical side.
Big physical side. Bombed early crosses in. And we were struggling to deal with that.
And similar to for the second goal then. So we had Azaz ran through from straight through from the middle of midfield. And I was frustrated with Cisse a little bit here, I must admit. He tracked him all the way into the 18-yard box. And then right at the last minute, he got drawn towards the ball, which then left Azaz free in the middle of the park. You know, I mean, could Joe Widdowson have done better? The guy was right in front of him. Joe Widdowson was marking his own man. Could he have passed that guy on to Brophy and then stepped forward and sort of closed the danger down and maybe, you know, put him under a bit more pressure? I'm not blaming him because it wasn't his man, but, you know, could he have closed the space?
I think the problem is when you're playing square pegs in round holes, really. I mean, we all know that Widdowson, you know, doesn't mind playing centre-half, but, you know, you kind of got the feeling he was defending a little bit like a left-back there. And Brophy, again, he, you know, not an out-and-out defender. Maybe he kind of got caught as well. Again, I'd say the build-up, we were lacking, weren't we? I mean, there was plenty, you know, there was a few people behind the ball, but there was a massive space where the guy could operate, get that ball over, and then a huge gap. But a decent finish, has to be said. Nice header past Vigouroux. I mean, he was unlucky again on another day that they've like hit the post or gone wide. But again, we're exposed time and time again to that ball from, you know, the right hand side.
I mean, I think it was another one of those performances where it really was a game of two halves, because I thought the second half was actually much better.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Louis Dennis, Rul Sotiriou, DJ were all unlucky with chances in the second half. Mm. Obviously, Dennis had a volley which was unlucky with after a Wilco cross. Ruel kind of miskicked after Liangol put the ball across, and DJ again after good work from Brophy and McEnough on the left hand side. So, you know, we fought. I think it was a spirited performance. I certainly think we fought back in the second half.
Yeah, and the frustrating thing is that yet again we've given away side a two goal start, haven't we? And, you know,
not for the first time this
season. Well, the last two times we've battled our way back, thinking, you know, we're not going to get anything out of this game, and we've like pulled it out of the fire. This time we just didn't quite have enough, did we? I mean, even after they scored the second one in the first half, they could have got a third from the set piece.
True, true.
And then we had a little spell at the end of that first half. DJ had a goal disallowed. It was put in by Brophy. And, you know, again, it's always good to see Brophy play a bit further up the pitch, because that's his danger. That's where he does his best work for us, I think. And I think he was a bit unlucky to be called offside for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, McEnough, he almost got on the end of a block shot from DJ, and it was only a good tackle from the defender, and you know, we could have gone in easily level at half time on another day.
Can I just say, Joby McEnough, I thought he was the best player on the pitch by a country mile, and I mean, you know, forget his age, he was absolutely quality for the whole game.
Yeah, and you know, thank God we've got him, but he can't play every game, and that's our problem, and we need to find people who can step up into that role. I just think that he needs to play all the league games. If, you know, if we're going to make an impression, he needs to play all the league games and carry the rest of his team with him.
Do you think we miss Craig Clay in the middle of the park?
I think we do. I saw him play last night and I thought he made a difference. The thing that worries me is that when Wright and Cisse play, they're too much of the same, really.
Sure.
I just think we need someone next to them to just drive forward, just put a little bit of pressure on the opposition, or give us an option to drive forward, and so we can pass the ball forward and not so much sideways and backwards. You know, sometimes we've got to take it to the opposition there.
I think if we're playing that three in the middle of the park there, I think, as you say, Wright and Cisse give us a good option as a holding midfield player, one or the other. I think with Clay there, you've got the balance who presses relentlessly, and he harries, and he's a real box-to-box midfield midfielder. And you've got Makhanov, who breaks the lines and gives you that real quality going forward.
Yeah.
And I think it's a nice combination with those three there. But obviously, when you've got one missing, then, you know, do we have the squad to cover for that potentially?
I think in normal times you'd say yeah, but like I said, we're coming back from a nasty outbreak of COVID, and not everyone's 100%. I'm sure they're not 100% even now.
And on that note, so we had, obviously, Ross was interviewed after the game, and he said, no excuses. He said, it did hit us, COVID, but that's not why we lost. He told the players, the team, at 12:30 on the day. Obviously, they had no time for training or what have you. Ross felt we could have had a penalty for at least one of the challenges on Ruel in the second half. And he said that feels like the players have put their bodies on the line. Again, feels like we've been put in a difficult position with having to play the game after no training. What do you think with that?
Well, the thing about it is we've obviously calling off the game against Warsaw. Missing the second one might not have gone down too well with our friends at the EFL. Now, I know that the EFL are our new best friends, according to Nigel and Danny, but
they were quick to praise them. They were, to be fair.
Yeah. But on the other end, regular O's watchers will know they've not done us too many favours over the years. So I don't think we could have taken a risk trying to call that game off, and also on the back of us trying to get the same, we had the team ready the day we had Spurs. You know, it's not a good look. At the end of the day, I think we had to play that game.
Yeah. So a bit of good news, I say. Well, I say good news, but it's good news tinged with bad news for us, in so much that great news for Ruel Sotiriou, called up to Cyprus under-21s again. You know, really well deserved, I think. You know, obviously he had a difficult start to pre-season training with the whole contract bits and pieces, but obviously since he's been back in, I think he's been fantastic. To me, it looks like he's worked really hard. He works really hard on the pitch, and, you know, he just fully deserves his call-up. For us, obviously, we lost him for the Wimbledon game on Tuesday night. We will also lose him for Barrow and Warsaw as well. Jamie, with the injury to Liang Goal that happened on Tuesday night, how does that leave us, do you think?
Well, it might leave us a little bit light up front, I have to say. And like I said, it's great news for him. He gets to play in a different standard of football. Like I said, it's just like, if we've lost Angol for any length of time, we are a little bit limited. But in saying that, Wilkinson looks like he's getting back to form, which is good. Who do we play alongside up there? That's the thing. And obviously DJ, we need to keep him fit. He had a well-earned rest on Tuesday night, which is good. I just hope we don't have any more injuries. I mean, Louis Dennis, you know, he's another option for us. And, you know, he was unlucky when he came on against Cheltenham. He put a real fizzing shot over the crossbar.
I think he's looked sharp this season, Louis Dennis. I've been really impressed with him. He was one at the end of last season who I drew up a list of players who I think we should keep, possibly move on. And he was one I was looking that potentially we should look to move him on. But actually, you know, I'm starting to change my mind. I think he's looked really good when he's played.
Well, I think the one thing about our squad, and at this level at the moment, it's quite big, and there is cover for various positions. So in that respect, I think with Louis Dennis, you know, obviously coming back to a little bit of form, that's good news for us too. So although we've lost Ruel and we've probably lost Lee for the next game, we can cope with it. And, you know, that's probably the beauty of our squad this season. Is that we're a year further on down the line, they're all more experienced at this level, and there's one or two lot with points to prove.
And I suppose we do have the option, even with losing Ruel and with losing Liang Goal, we do have the option to play Joe Widdowson left back, push Brophy forward, which I know a lot of fans have been crying out for, obviously. And if Louis Dennis comes into the team as well, you've also got James Dayton. Again, he seems to have played a different role this season. He seems to be playing more of a midfield player. But I suppose we do have the option to play him as one of the front three if we need to.
Yeah, we have got that option. I mean, I saw him last night and I thought he did a very good covering job with Miles Jadler last night, which we'll probably come to later on. But like you said, he's kind of adapted his game a bit more. He's lost that yard of pace over the last couple of years. And you really want someone like JMD to step up now and really make a name for himself. I mean,
I forgot about him, to be honest.
Well, the thing is,
sorry,
we saw him last night's game. He put one really great crossover for Liang Goal, which, you know, Liang Goal should have scored, to be quite honest. But a lot of stuff didn't quite run for him last night. And you just really wish with a guy with his technical ability, you just really wish he can impose himself a bit more.
Yeah, and as you say, he's a great crosser of the ball. But he flits in and out of games, and you'd like to see him be a bit more, put his stamp on the game, be a bit more dominant, you know, certainly around the edge of the 18-yard box of the opposition, you know, make things happen.
Well, he's got the ability, he's like comfortable on both feet, you know, to make things happen. Just put like a little crafty little ball in there or a whipped in cross. That makes all the difference when you have to open up a tight defence.
So I went on the Facebook group after the results, and I thought I would read out a few of the comments from supporters, and we can see what we think of them. So first one from James Lee Fort: no excuse for this. We are shocking all over the pitch. Widdowson at centre back, forget it. Hope my eyes never have to see that again. Danny Rogers: what the hell is this rubbish I'm watching? This is the worst, laziest, most lacklustre performance I've ever seen from Orient in a very long time. John Last: up against one of the promotion favourites in Cheltenham, having not trained together for 2 weeks, we can't grumble much about the result. So quite extreme reactions there. Where do you sit?
Where should we start with? Should we start with the last one?
Yes.
You can see where John's coming from on that one. Like I said before, it's just like, we had a few square pegs in round holes. You can't really defend the defending, so to speak, because it was bad. And to be quite honest, it has been bad in parts for a long time. I just think that as much as we want to cut them a bit of slack, I think that the criticism about the defending is right.
I don't like the no excuse for this, because there clearly is an excuse, right? And in fairness, Ross didn't use it as an excuse, but if not an excuse, a reason. I don't think it's fair to call the players lazy, because I don't think it was anything to do with that. I think fitness clearly showed, and I think in the second half they did put a real shift in to try and get the goals back, but we just left ourselves a little bit too much to do. So, yeah.
And I think also we're not giving enough respect to Cheltenham, because I thought they were one of the better teams I've seen so far. Well organised, I think they'd be there or thereabouts. They got to the playoffs last season. I think our luck ran out a little bit, to be quite honest.
Okay. All right, well, let's hear from Dave Victor and let's hear from Ross Embleton now. They're going to talk to us about the Wimbledon game, which obviously happened last night, which we won 2-0.
Well, a very impressive performance against League One opposition on Tuesday night. Leighton Orient beating AFC Wimbledon by 2-0 after a very difficult game, incredible circumstances at the weekend against Cheltenham.
Yeah, excellent response tonight, Dave. A real shift put in by a lot of players who are obviously looking to get themselves in and amongst that starting lineup. But the attitude was absolutely spot on from the off tonight. And what a performance. 90 minutes, 2-0. And as you say, off the back of Saturday, a game which, personally, when you look back at the scenario that was put in front, I'm not sure the game really should have taken place. It was unfair on the O's to ask them. And I think Ross Embleton was pretty honest about that in his post-match press conference. But tonight, again, fantastic result, fantastic to see some good performances, and in particular some of the youngsters as well. Jaden Sweeney, what an excellent contribution he made.
Yes, and that second goal was taken well by Connor Wilkinson. The only sort of concern was the injury to Leongo.
Yeah, called it straight away that it looked like a hamstring, and unfortunately that was the injury he suffered last year, which ruled him out for around 6 weeks. So the way he came off, he was able to come off on his own, he was unassisted, which, fingers crossed, suggests it might just be a tweak, not a full tear, but I'm sure the O's medical team will be looking at that in the coming days.
The Orient faithful have been asking for a central defender. I think we've got a good one, haven't we?
Well, he impressed in the pre-season game, didn't he? Olatunji Akinola, he's certainly got a lot of potential about him, been with West Ham United for a number of years, I think since he's been eight years old, so it just shows they feel he's a real talent. He showed that here, and he's here for the remainder of the season on loan. Again, put competition for places, left-footed player as well, which is interesting. There's a few of those at the club now, but I suspect when he gets comfortable in this team, he'll certainly make an impression.
Game's coming thick and fast, but we go to the northwest and Barrow with confidence.
Yeah, you always want to go there with another win under your belts, and the O's have done that tonight. Long journey, of course. The players, I'm sure, will be travelling up on the Friday, but as I say, just put in Saturday's defeat, which was I think difficult for everyone involved, and the players, as I say, difficult to underestimate how much that would have taken out of them. But they've responded in a superb manner tonight, and say excellent performance. Ross Embleton, I'm sure, will be delighted with what he saw. We were on the commentary, and hopefully the O's can do the business on Saturday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Matt.
So we've heard from Dave and Matt there, and now we've got Ross, Dave and Ross.
Well, Ross, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. That was a 90-minute performance.
Thank you. I thought it was, Dave. Yeah, we had a really good chat after the game on Saturday because it was a bit of a surreal experience, you know. Like, I'm sure, like everybody else, disappointed that we lost the game. But very difficult for me to leave here on Saturday night with that real disappointment because of the circumstances. So we had a really good chat about what we felt we were missing on Saturday and what we felt was going to help us improve our performances from so far this season. So it was really good, really honest, a lot of real good opinions from the players. And you know, we went out yesterday and finally got on the training ground again and got to put a little bit of work into the boys that played tonight. And I was delighted with the way that they delivered the performance, but at the same time, the energy and enthusiasm after, again, you know, the delay that they've been without football.
There seemed to be a presence about the squad.
Yes, and that's probably something that one of the things that we really discussed, that presence on the pitch to really go and impose ourselves a little bit more. And I feel that sometimes we've probably been a little bit, tried to be probably almost a little bit too tactical in the way that we defend sometimes and then quite haven't had the intensity to the way that we want to play. So I felt that was there in an abundance tonight. So and I'm glad, you know, I'm glad I could have sat back and watched the performance with a different result, or, you know, a draw, or, you know, or a 2-1 when they get a couple of free kicks towards the end. But I'm glad that we can come away and we can also say we've kept a clean sheet.
James Brophy did well to earn the penalty.
Yes, he did. It was a surreal experience, wasn't it? Because there's not too many drop balls these days where you see the ball get dropped back to one of the teams in the final third ready to attack. So I thought James was bright in the way that he took that moment and drove into the box. And it's always difficult with a player that moves that quick, because if you touch him, it doesn't take a lot to knock him down.
And Leon Goal was called from the spot, but what is the extent of the injury? It looked like a hamstring again.
Well, first of all, I'm delighted for Lee, because I think Lee's been excellent so far this season. He's played in a position in the wide area that probably he doesn't favour in terms of wanting to play as his first choice position, but he's gone and done a job for the team on a number of occasions so far this year because Danny Johnson started the season so well. So I'm delighted that he got the penalty, and I'm delighted that he's shown the confidence to step forward after missing in the last game to score that. So far we feel as though he feels as though that the hamstring doesn't feel quite as bad as it did last year when he pulled up with it. I think what that suggests is that it shows us the danger that our players have been playing in it with in the last two games, because unfortunately for us, Leanne Goh has had no option other than to be sat indoors for the last 2 weeks. So we felt that there was always going to be that possibility without the training and the preparation that our players could end up pulling up. I think, like everybody, I cross my fingers and hope that in the next couple of days it's not as bad as maybe at first looked when he pulled up.
Absolutely. Jaden Sweeney, the provider, an assist, and Connor Wilkinson took it so well.
Great finish by Connor. We've seen a few of those goals this year, haven't we? Certainly in pre-season, and obviously Danny's one at Forest Green as well. And I'm delighted for Jaden, because Jaden got a lot of exposure, which seems probably a hell of a long time ago now, I believe, on our cup run to Wembley back in the FA Trophy, and then hasn't had the same opportunities. He suffered an injury in one of our early training sessions after lockdown and hasn't been able to get back out on the pitch. So delighted, had the three boys on the bench tonight, Jaden, Hector and Brendan Shabani, and I was hoping to try and get at least two of the three of them on this evening, but obviously the injuries and circumstances meant that we had to change that. So I'm delighted that the way that Jaden played that ball forward, but at the same time I'm really pleased with the way that he defended as well.
And Miles Judd looked sharp, so too did Sam Sargent.
Yeah, I was really pleased with Sargent's his kicking, because you know, I know it's a lot of work that Dean Lawrence and Sarge do on that side of his game, and he's kicked well off both feet tonight, so really pleased. And he's kept a clean sheet. Don't think he had too much to deal with, which is a good sign from the defenders in front of him. And then yes, Juddy, great that we got him the opportunity to get out there tonight. It's been a bit stop start for Juddy throughout the season so far, and obviously pulled up with those tight hamstrings, which is again another sign of people being sat at home recently.
I was impressed with James Tate.
Yes, well, I think James has had a good season, Dave, and I think, you know, definitely would be disappointed that he wouldn't have been involved at the weekend. And when we were chasing the game, we chose to bring the sort of three strikers, if you like, on to try to get back in it, and James didn't find himself back on the pitch, but got incredible trust in him. Tactically, he's got fantastic understanding and the techniques and the cleverness that he's got on the ball. He's a really, really good asset for us.
And talking about good assets for you, you've had a busy day and you brought in a good young player.
Yeah, me and you bumped into each other on the stairs, didn't we? And I didn't know whether to introduce him to you or wait until it was obviously revealed, though. So I do apologise for that. But Tunji's been a player, probably seen my interview already today, but Tunji's been a player that we've been following for a while. I've got some real good friends and people that I've worked with in the past that work at West Ham, and they highlight good players with potential to come out on loan to me on a regular basis. So Tunji trained a lot with the first team during lockdown and made it, you know, probably put a bit of a delay on us being able to access him coming in. So we're delighted that we've got him. I think he's going to give us a real competition for places in his position and make us even stronger.
Because he played against the O's, I think, in the under-23 side, and that was a good team, wasn't it?
Was a good team. It was a very much a game of two halves. Obviously, West Ham were far, by far the more superior in the first half, and I thought we were very good in the second half that day. But it was sort of an add-on. Funny conversation I had with him yesterday was when he said to me, I said, I've been following you for a while, and he said, since we played you. And I said, no, it's been going on a lot longer than that. So hopefully that pleased him that we've done a lot of research on him. So yeah, we feel we've signed a real strong asset, and I can't wait to get working with him tomorrow morning.
Is that it, or is there could be more?
We were very close to another one, but let down yesterday. So that was a disappointment. I think it's something to weigh up. Again, I think I've said to you already, Dave, that in terms of recruitment of new players, what we don't want to do is overload in too many areas. We know we need to be prepared for nights like tonight when you lose someone like Liang Goal. But at the same time, whether you bring someone in, whether you've got players here already, you want to see a route into the team for them. And we've got a number of players that can play in different positions. So I've got my eye on one or two. We've got a little bit of a cushion now. The main window's closed. And I would hope to see maybe one more if it's possible.
Can I talk about a couple of players that we haven't seen in the last two games? And starting with Jamie Turley. What's the situation with the players that we haven't seen?
Whether I'm right to say it or not, but obviously, you know, everyone knows the illness that went through the camp. Yeah. Jamie was one of those that suffered the illness, probably I would say a little bit worse than some of the other boys. I would say that once the positive results come back, there was a few more symptoms that had come Jamie's way, and so everybody's clear. We put a medical presentation out to the EFL and other governing bodies to say, look, this is the recovery time that we feel that players need, and because of the extended symptoms and issues that Jamie suffered, he now has to go through that process that's going to lead him back over a bit of a longer period because he suffered the illness a bit longer. Same with Jordan Thomas. So really disappointed for the pair of them that this has set them back. But as we've said all along, the welfare of our players is something that's paramount to all of us. And we've got the opportunity, I say opportunity, we've been put in a position where we need to make sure that Jamie and Jordan can recover the best they can. They're both running. You saw Jordan was here tonight, which is a positive step. So we feel that by the back end of the week, we'll potentially be able to see him training lightly back with the group again and starting to look properly from next week.
Long trip on Saturday to Barrow, but tonight you've had some players here that have given you some sort of sleepless nights, haven't you, in a good way?
Yeah, I mean, I think I said to you before we come here, Dave, on this interview, that my sleepless nights have all been related to COVID, to symptoms, to protocols over the last 2 weeks. So it'd be nice to have a few headaches to worry about in terms of selection. I've always said that I have incredible faith in the players that we have here, and I love working with the squad and the group that we've got. It's my job to pick the best team possible to go and win a game of football, and then it's also my job to manage the ones in terms of the disappointment when they miss out. So we're in a good place. We're looking forward, I don't know if I should say looking forward to the trip to Barrow, we're certainly looking forward to the game at Barrow and going out there to try and get 3 points back in the league again.
When you look at the fixture list, how do you feel about this competition, Ross?
Probably mixed emotions, if I'm honest, Dave, because you could do without it, if you're brutally honest. But at the same time, I don't think if we have this game, don't have this game tonight, it gives me another day to work with the team. But Jaden Sweeney don't get exposure tonight to coming out and showing people what he's capable of. Miles Judd, Sam Sargent don't get time on the pitch. Amongst others, don't really want to miss anybody out, but I don't really want to go through the whole team. But so I think it gives us a platform to help players. Now for me, we've qualified tonight, and it gives me a great opportunity in the next round for Jaden Sweeney, for Hector Kyprianou, and to play players that, you know, after the weekend's disappointment, give them a platform to go and play again. So Would I be happy with a week's training? Yes. But like I say, for me, Jaden wouldn't have done what he done tonight without this game.
So he's qualified. I think we wouldn't have qualified, but still have to play Charm.
Yeah, great. And it's a shame that Macca's not going to be there. But at the same time, be a great night for us to go to the Valley and embrace that challenge. And we're in this competition. We're going to do everything we can to win every game of football. Tonight, we come away from here with that winning, that feel-good factor again. People can shoot it down. People can talk it up. But it's not really something I'm overly bothered about. My team have won a game of football tonight, and I'm delighted because it means that we go into Barrow full of confidence and ready to go and get points in the league.
And it was an impressive display. Thank you very much, Ross. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, so Ross Embleton there talking about the 2-0 win over Wimbledon last night. I'm just going to go through the team and bits and pieces. So just anyone who didn't manage to catch the game last night is aware of who played and some of the incidents from the game. So we started off with a 4-3-3 with Sam Sargent in goal, with Miles Judd making his first appearance of the season. Dan Happy, who was captain for the night as well, which I thought was an interesting selection there because obviously Happy and Coulson both playing centre-half, and Happy was the one who was selected to be the captain there. So Jamie, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's to commemorate his 100th appearance, give him the armband, and why not? Yeah. He's been a pretty good player for us over the last three seasons, so yeah, well deserved. And nice to finish that game with a win.
Yeah. Joe Willison at left back, and then a midfield three of Wright, Dayton and Clay, with the forward line being JMD, Angle and Brophy. On the bench, we had Vigourou, Wilkinson, Shabani, Kiprianu, Sweeney and Louis Dennis. Jamie, I would say that's probably the best 90 minutes as a full performance of the season.
Yeah, if we're being critical, we could say 80 minutes, because I thought Wimbledon, you know, they had a good spell at the beginning of that game.
That is hypercritical.
It is hypercritical, but you know what? We're Orient fans. We're allowed to be. But no, definitely our best performance. A proper full-on, well-deserved win.
Yeah, and I think, obviously Lee Angle getting off the mark as well, scoring with the penalty. Should have scored earlier on in the game from the JMD cross, which he just put wide. But it is really, really good to see him get off the mark. And great work by Brophy with the uncontested drop ball.
Yeah, and again, it's just to show that when Brophy plays further up the pitch, what a threat he is for us. Because, like I said, in the last game against Cheltenham, he furnished a chance for Johnson. And, it's quick thinking. And again, it just goes to show what an asset is when he drives in the box. That's his biggest asset for us, driving in the box at pace. The defender has to make a decision whether to put a dodgy tackle in or take him out. And there was no question about that. It was a penalty last night.
I'm going to put something out there now. What do we think about the sportsmanship of that? If it's an uncontested drop ball, should he have driven in there, or should he have, should he have passed it?
No, just get in there. other players wouldn't wait for us, so you know what? It's a take advantage for once. We've been on the end of it enough times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not bothered. We scored. Yeah. But I'm just thinking, if it happened to us, how would we react? Would we feel, as though it wasn't fair, maybe?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't care.
All right, OK. Defend yourselves at all times, as they say. Yeah. Right, OK. So in the 58th minute, we had Wilco nearly made it 2-0, where he rounded the keeper, should have scored, but just took one touch too many and was smothered. And then, unfortunately, Lee Angle had to go off injured. Looked like a hamstring injury. Obviously, Ross mentioned in the interview that hopefully we'll find out in the next few days. A big blow.
Yeah, big blow for us, because, you know, he can act as a wide forward or, you know, lead the line. And it obviously gives us options. It's typical Lee Angle luck, though, isn't it? I mean, it always seems like he fluffs his line with a big chance, gets a penalty, puts it away, no problem, gets clear, more or less clear, the last man on goal, and suddenly he's like, he has to pull up like that. So I don't know. I just hope he gets fit for us pretty quickly. But I feel sorry for him. I felt for him.
And do you know what? Actually, one thing I didn't mention about the penalty. You'll see, he took a penalty a few weeks ago and he missed it. And so I think that shows a lot of balls to step up and take this penalty this time. And he slid it away really coolly.
Yeah, no problem. Sent the keeper the wrong way. You know, I think he's quite a confident guy. He just needs a bit of luck for us.
Miles Judd having a really good game. First game of the season. How do you think Miles did?
The Miles Judd question comes again, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to be cynical, you must have thought hell must have frozen over for Judd to get a start. But I'm glad he did. And I thought, you know what, I'll put it out there. I thought he was man of the match for us yesterday. I don't think he hardly put a foot wrong. everything about him is the way a fullback should have played, really. Aggressive in the tackle, supported the attack, actually used the ball quite well last night. And he also was backed up by James Dayton as well, with just playing off of him. I thought it was a good performance from him. I felt sorry for him. The injury robbed him of his first like 90 minutes. I don't think he'd have got a game if Jordan Thomas was fit. And he came in and, he looked like he'd been playing there all season. And all of a sudden, the problems of our right-hand side, which we've been suffering all season, didn't seem to be there anymore.
And we're joined by Tom Davies, journalist from The Guardian, on the phone. Tom, can you hear me?
Hi, Bill. Yeah, hi. Can you see me all right?
Yes, perfect. Yeah. Lovely.
All right, Tom.
How you doing? You all right?
Not too bad, yeah. You?
We are discussing the Myles Judd conundrum. Where do you sit with Myles Judd?
I'd like to see him again, actually, because it feels like it's been a while. Even if you think last season, I kind of thought he would have more of a role even last season than this season. And if you think back to sort of 2 or 3 years ago, he was kind of seen as the coming man a little bit from our kind of that crop of young players. And, yeah, for whatever reasons, injury partly, it's not happened. But I don't think we've seen the best of him or got the best of him out of him for quite a while.
Yeah, and I agree with you. One of the points that I wrote down, actually, was the fact that it looked like the old Myles Judd last night, from a couple of seasons ago, who really burst onto the scene and was, making a name for himself and obviously was being linked with clubs higher up the pyramid. And then, he sort of seems to have faded off the radar a little bit, but I hope maybe last night's game will push him back into contention.
Yeah.
So then unfortunately, obviously having a good game, he got cramp and in the 70th minute he was replaced by Jaden Sweeney. So nice to see Jaden getting some minutes, and again a lovely ball up to Wilkinson for the second goal.
Jayden. Yeah, and it was a good finish from Wilkinson. I know the goalkeeper, had the rush of blood to the head and decided to go halfway to the halfway line, but it was a good take. And I think he deserved it. I think that Wilkinson, he was a bit unlucky with that chance he fashioned for himself, because you've got to remember that the one he missed, he was second favourite for that ball, and he robbed the centre-half and, almost got a really good goal there. But he took it well, and I was really pleased for him.
Yeah.
I think he's looked good again this season, actually, Wilkinson, after... he started last season quite well, but I think he's kind of certainly shown that he's looked quite sharp this season. And we're scoring loads of lobbed goals. What's that all about?
Preferred
type of scoring is a sort of classy lob from distance.
We do seem to be enticing the goalkeeper to end up in no man's land. It's happened on a few occasions this season, hasn't it? Tom, what do you make of the whole Wilkinson thing with regards to where you play him? Would you play him down the middle? Would you play him out wide on the right? What do you think?
I'm not completely sold on the 4-3-3 we're playing, but I think he works quite well in it because he does kind of go wide and he does sometimes drop back. Because you need to have different types of forward in that formation. And you've got like Danny Johnson as your kind of classic goal poacher. And you need Wilkinson to do sort of link-up stuff. I was a bit worried on Saturday because I thought he wasn't really in the game, partly because we were, apart from Joby, weak in midfield, so he wasn't brought into the game enough. But I think as a sort of... he can play in a sort of number 10-ish sometimes. He can sometimes go wide. I think there is... I'm quite pleased with him at the moment, to be honest.
He does offer you a bit of diversity in that role, doesn't he? That's the thing, Obviously, he can play down the middle, he can hold the ball up, and he's got the old classic line, he's got great feet for a big man. Have you seen a lot of Jaden Sweeney, Tom? What do you make of him?
I didn't catch the game last night, actually, so I can't. I'm a little bit blind on that one, because I was busy and I'm not that bothered by the checker trade. From what I've seen, I think he's obviously got... he's got decent technique. He's got quite agile and mobile. I'd like to see him. He's obviously like to see him get a run in the team. He's not quite sure who he would replace because you'd be thinking possibly a left back where we've got Brophy doing his thing there. But I would like to see him certainly get his sort of double figures amount of games this season because he has got potential and he looks like he's got quite a good attitude and everything like that. He looks promising. We need to see more of him.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that Ross said was a little bit frustrating last night. Obviously, Leanne Gold got injured and Myles Judd cramped up, which meant that he could give Sweeney a game, but obviously because of the other injuries and bits and pieces that we picked up, it just meant that Brendan Shabani and Hector Kipriano, neither of them got on the pitch. But Jamie, nice to see them on the bench, though.
Yeah, we had a very young bench, didn't we, if you looked at it. I don't think you really wanted to throw too many in at once, but... it bodes well, really, doesn't it? I mean, even though we've had that COVID outbreak, we can still put on, put out a decent sort of second string and have those young lads to back us up. I'd just like to see more of them, but obviously it's going to depend on injuries and form and everything and suspensions and everything else.
Great to see 6 homegrown players, by the way, in the squad yesterday.
Well, more power to them.
So, all right, so we're going to move on a little bit from the Wimbledon review. Obviously, you know, we've talked a little bit about the 2 games and what have you and stuff like that, and that's good. But there was an interesting announcement at half-time with Tunji Akinola signing at centre-half on a season-long loan from West Ham. Lots of people impressed by this signing. Ross said, we've been watching him for a while. It gives us more strength in depth and competition for places. What do we think, Tom? What do you know? Do you know anything about Tunji Akinola?
It's good to have a Tunji back in the team after 48 years, the last one being the famous Tunji Banjo. I was pleased. I think that was the area that we needed to strengthen most in. So I was glad that we've got someone in who looks, you know, young and has potential in a defensive position. Because actually, at the start of the season, before it all kicked off, I think people were kind of worried about what our resources were like up front, and they've actually looked not too bad. But we've looked wobbly in defence. And it's good to get someone in that position. Because actually, if you look at it, the squad, compared to a lot of teams at our level, is actually not bad. And I'm probably tempting fate horribly by saying that. But, so many clubs are skint at the moment and are in real crisis. And I think we shouldn't do anything too reckless with regard to sort of spending. And just bringing in players here and there is probably the limit to what we can and should be doing. So I'm feeling reasonably philosophical about the state of our squad. And I think an addition like that is probably the right kind of player to bring in.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what you make the point about the financial situation at the moment. Jamie, some people were disappointed it's not a permanent signing, sort of mentioning that because he's a youngster, will he play? What do you think?
It depends, really. I just think it was needed, that signing. If you want to buy an expensive experience centre-half, that's going to cost money, and I don't think anyone wants to pay out any money in fees at the moment. That's not going to happen, so we've gone to the next best thing. I mean, you've got to remember, we've still got 3 experienced centre-halves at the club. I know Jamie Turley's under the weather a little bit at the moment, but you know, to bring an extra one in, it still gives us options for when he is fit.
I think the thing is as well, I think people see Danny Happy as a youngster. And he is a youngster, but he's played over 100 professional games now. So, you know, he's not a new kid on the block. He's a seasoned professional now. So, you know, there is no reason why we couldn't play Akinola and Happy together, because although Dan Happy's age, he's played enough games to know his way around the division now.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Akinola comes over as a very confident young man. I mean, I saw his interview yesterday. He didn't come over as a big-time Charlie at all. Knew his place in the setup already. And, by his own admission, he likes a block and he likes a tackle, which makes him all right by me if he's a defender, which is good. I just think it gives us an extra option. I think a lot of people were crying out for a centre-half. And our squad now at the moment, I agree with Tom, I think at this level and at this moment in time and the way the game is going, I think our squad's good enough to hold up.
Tom, would you start Akinola? Obviously, we've been our defensive problems are well documented at the moment. Would you start him?
I mean, possibly. If you take Saturday's lineup, where we have Widdowson at centre half, I'd rather have Akinola starting actually on Saturday, and go for it with him, and then put Widdowson either on the bench or left wing and push Brophy forward. But because I just thought we looked so flaky in defence on Saturday.
Players
that didn't look comfortable at all, and I think we're crying out for a bit of mobility, a bit of somebody who can read the game. And even though he got slagged off a little bit when he left, I think we have missed Ekpiteta. He was a good reader of the game, and he was and so it'd be good to have someone who's kind of young, mobile in that position as a natural centre half to be playing. You know, I actually would be tempted to throw him in if our injury situation is as it was last weekend.
I mean, Coulson played last night, so obviously, you know, him and Get Happy were partnered last night, so we know he is available. Jamie, what do? Do you stick with Coulson and Happy, or do you throw Akinola in? And if you do, who do you play him alongside?
I'd stick with the two centre-halves from last night. Akinola would definitely be on the bench, and I'd probably stick with Miles Judd if he's fit at right back, and I'd stick with Widdowson at left back because he looked a lot more comfortable last night. Almost scored a goal. So, yeah, I'd probably try and stick with the back four that played last night.
Interesting. Okay, well, we're going to... There's a question about the back four that someone sent in from the message board. So, I was going to do it later. Let's do it now.
Go on then.
Okay, so, where are we? So, I've got to find the question. Now I've lost it. Right, okay, so, a back four of Brophy, Happy, Akinola and Thomas would all be comfortable on the ball and would allow us to play out from the back. Are the panel excited about this as an option?
No.
Tom, go on, you start.
I'm a bit anxious about that, even though, despite what I've just said, because I think, you know, to use some stereotypes and cliches, a tough game up in Barrow on a cold October Saturday.
It's not a Tuesday night, though. Like,
I'd have Judd in at right back. I'd like to see a bit more of Jordan Thomas, but he has looked a bit raw, shall we say, at times. So I think if we had that back four, I think they'd be. Yeah, getting in behind us quite a bit, and yeah, you wouldn't necessarily trust us to keep a clean sheet, or even to keep down to one or two. So yeah, no, I'd toughen it up a little bit from that.
Jamie, you're not happy about that at all, are
no,
you?
let's walk before we can run with that one, eh?
I like a defender to defend.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, this is not like the Premier League or the Champions League, is it? I mean, let's be honest. I just think our players need to play to their strengths, and I just think that someone like Willison is better at that sort of defensive thing, and having people try to play through the middle, it might be okay, but I'm not sure. Like Tom said, can he do it on a Tuesday night in Barrow? I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm excited by it. I've got to say to you, I'm excited by it. I think, you know, I like playing football from the back, and I don't mind defenders who can play the ball out. I don't mind, you know, I like a defender who can defend as well, as a former left back myself. But I think I prefer Brophy at left back, and I don't care what anyone says. Obviously, me and you disagree on this, but I think his best position is at left back. He's got space to run into going forward, you know.
I think he is if he's got three defenders alongside him, or behind him slightly, like in a sort of...
So you'd play him as a wing back?
5-3-2, but I'm not always sold on him as a flat back for left back, but...
Okay, all right.
I don't mind Brophy playing left back, don't get me wrong, but I just think he's more effective for us driving into the opposition box on more than one occasion in a game. You know, he'll win us more games doing that than playing at left back.
Can you not picture it, though? You've got Brophy on one side, herring down the wing. You've got Miles Judd or Jordan Thomas or Lingy herring down the wing on the other side.
Pardon, maybe what not, was that last bit?
maybe not herring, but getting down the wing on the other side. And then you've got Usise just sitting there mopping up when it all goes wrong. I mean, come on.
Yeah, mopping up when it all goes wrong. I think that's exactly...
Maybe I'm too much of the Kevin Keegan school of football then. So we're going with
I'm
no
just visualising the gruesome goal and the counter-attack we concede after all these moves break down. But there you go.
All right, Tom, who's your back four then? Tell me, who's your back four?
For Saturday.
Everyone fit.
I'm going to be slightly adventurous. I'll go Judd right back, Happy, Akinola, and then Widdowson the left back.
Okay.
For this one, away game.
Yep.
Well, we'll take it from there then.
Go on, Jamie.
No, if Judd's fit, I'd start him. I'd more or less have the same defence that started yesterday. Obviously, see how the injury situation is. But you know, Akinola, I don't think he's far away from a start if it came down to it. And I wouldn't have any qualms shoving him in if it came down to it. So, yeah, my first choice back four would be the one that started yesterday.
Okay. I mean... When we get messages about Sam Ling and, you know, who is the preferred right back at the club and what have you and stuff. And so, you know, to me, I think Sam Ling's played well this season. I'm not going to lie. I think he's done well. I think he's been solid. I don't think he does anything spectacular going forward. I think he's been better this season going forward. But I think he's a solid defender. I don't think the formation helps him.
No.
I think the 4-3-3 formation can leave him isolated with two players on one a lot of the time. And I think he gets the blame for crosses coming in when actually there's two men that he's trying to close down.
Yeah, and I think I'll make you right. I mean, someone said, I think it was on Twitter the other day, about, you know, does our 4-3-3 help or hinder us? Discuss. And I think when it comes to someone like Sam Ling, I think you might be on the right track, Billy. Like I said, I mean, the way Dayton supported J Judd last night, I think that might be the way to go.
It's an option.
It's a way. You know, it's an option for us. I mean, in the away game, you know, you want to keep it tight, don't you? You don't want to concede early, and it might be a good idea to, like, get someone to do that job on Saturday, and whoever's playing right back, whether it's either Judd or Ling.
I think Ling struggles more in a 4-3-3 than Judd would, because Ling.
He's not as quick.
He hasn't got a fitted right-sided midfielder in front of him. So he's sure. kind of, yeah, as you said, he got out, you know, he's been outnumbered a few times on that flank.
I just think Judd's more aggressive character, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's better. I think he's more aggressive in the tackle. I think Sam Ling's better in the air, but I think Miles Judd is more aggressive in the tackle on the floor. I think, unfortunately, that can lead to him overstepping the line.
Yeah.
Do we trust him? Obviously, you know, he's had a couple of bookings. He had a sending off last year as well. So, do we trust him in that, Tom? Do we think?
Not totally. he's kind of yin and yang. I mean, he does go in. He is more aggressive in attack, and he's more aggressive, I think, in his general sort of demeanour, if you like. But there are aspects of his game that go along with that, which he needs to kind of watch, because he's got some needless bookings really over the time he's been with us.
Well, given that Ross's favoured formation tends to be a 4-3-3, and I mean, Jamie, I said you were hypercritical earlier on when we talked about the game last night, and I said it was a 90-minute performance, you said 80. If I was hypercritical as well, I suppose the only thing I was disappointed about last night is that we played 4-3-3 again, and it seems to be that that's the only formation we play. And, you know, I would like to see us experiment with some different formations potentially, and I thought last night was an opportunity to do that. However, given that the 4-3-3 seems to be the way we are going, what order then do we put those right backs in that 4-3-3 scenario? Obviously, you've got Judd, you've got Ling, you've got Thomas. Who's your first choice? Who's your second choice? Who's your third choice? Tom, over to you.
I think I'd go Judd, Ling, Thomas, but you have to think about who the midfielders in front are, because I think it varies. If it's sort of Wright or Dayton or Maguire-Drew, that brings different kind of questions that need to be answered with that. But that's been my top three.
Yeah, Jamie?
Yeah, I'll probably go along with that.
Yeah. I forgot to mention earlier on, the question about the back four came from Fish from the message board, so thanks for that, Fish. Okay, all right, so Ronnie Hotdogs sent a message in about Sam Ling, about justifying his performances in the team week after week. I think we've covered that one, to be fair. We've touched on that. Donut from the message board has said, should we be taking the EFL trophy seriously or just using it as an upmarket friendlies to develop the team? Now, Jamie, you've got some interesting stats here with regards to the prize money, haven't you, to the EFL tournament. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just had a quick look on the EFL website, and we get 20k for taking part and you get 10k per win. So automatically we're on 40k for the season. Now, obviously not a great deal of money, but if you're Danny Macklin, you'd be thinking, yeah, thank God I've got 40k in. And this kind of rolls on. If you get a draw, it's 5k. And if you get into the knockout round, it's 20k per win. And then it goes up to 40k if you win in the last 16. And if you get to the quarterfinal and the semi-final, that's 50k if you win, and £100,000 then you get to if you win it. So obviously not a great deal of money, you know, if you're a Premier League team, but considering that we were going all out to get 150k from the Spurs game, that racks up. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of the EFL trophy as it stands at the moment, because I just think people are trying to use it as a backdoor way of getting B teams into the pyramid.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
But
yeah,
in saying that, you know, at this moment in time, we can't really afford to turf off 50k, can we? In regards to using the games as like experimentation, I think you're right. I was half expecting Ross to play five in the midfield last night, and he surprised me. So we've got an extra game against Charlton. That's more or less a dead rubber now. But, you know, if we do top the group, that means we get a home tie in the next round. So there's a little bit of incentive, dare I say it, for us to go out and actually win that group. And, you know, it also gives people like Jaden Sweeney a chance to get a run out. Miles Judd wouldn't have got a run out otherwise. So it swings around about as far as I'm concerned. At the moment, I don't think we can afford to take it too lightly.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think, you know, the game against the Charlton, as you say, is a dead rubber. Potentially that we might see Kyprianou and Shibani get some game time as well. You know, so again, it's an opportunity there for them. Yeah. All right, so a question from Adam Parks then. So he says, Ross is doing a great job and the acquisition of Tunji is a shrewd move. However, what areas of the squad do the panel think we still need to strengthen in? Obviously, Ross did say that he was expecting two signings this week, but we were let down by one at the last minute. So, Tom, what do you think?
I said at the start of the season that I would like to see another attacking addition, and actually I've been pleasantly surprised by how we've attacked so far this season. But having said that, I still wouldn't mind either another wide right player or an actual another striker, just to kind of give us some extra options, especially as our forwards are injury prone. I mean, Angle, he has pretty bad luck with injuries, and Wilkins has had some knocks as well. So
it sounds like you're being summoned in the background. That's there right, by yes, someone. Is it bedtime? okay, all right. Well, I mean, one of the things I would say is I would be interested to see if we go back in for Keziah Sterling. And the reason I say that is obviously with Raul Soteriou away, with Leanne Goal looking like he's going to be out for a few weeks, you know, that only leaves us with two fit forwards. So do we go back in for Keziah Sterling on a month's loan? We've just had a bit of a windfall from the Macaulay Bond sale to QPR. We've obviously just picked up a little bit of money as well that you've been going through with the EFL trophy. So potentially there might be a bit of money in the pot there. That's something I'd be interested to see if we do that. So on that note, what I will say is as well, to help us to get some more money into the club, can we please make sure that everybody signs up for the Orient streaming? Danny Macklin mentioned it when he came in a few weeks ago, and obviously he said how valuable the income is to the club and how much money it will help us in the long run. So, you know, I'm going to plug that now. Obviously, season ticket holders will get the home games as part of their season tickets, but the game on Saturday against Barrow away, obviously, that's something that you'll need to pay for to get. So I certainly will be doing that. I think that the streaming's been really good so far, James.
Yeah, I've had no problems. Sometimes the sound goes a little bit funny because Dave Victor ended up sounding like Peter Frampton the other week.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been all right. I can't really, I can't speak for others, but as far as I'm concerned, whenever I've logged in, it's been okay.
Yeah, I've had no glitch. I mean, the odd glitch that everyone's had, and some of it's been the EFL stream itself, and it's like not been the club's fault, and we've had the odd glitch. But no, it's been fine. I mean, it's a weird experience, so I can't. It's so diminished from what it normally is like being in the ground. Like after last Saturday, I was crying out to just go and support the club, have a couple of pints, sort of, thrash out the flaws of our performance and have a good moan. And just sitting in the kitchen on your own, watching it on the computer is a diminished experience.
It's second best, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Tom, thanks for joining us tonight. We really, really appreciate your time. Take care. Have a good week.
And you, cheers.
Cheers, mate.
All right, so that is the end of the show, unfortunately. Thank you ever so much for Jamie. Thank you for our button monkey, Andy, who's been doing mics and bits and pieces today. Thank you for Tom for coming in, and we shall see you all next week. Take care.
Cheers.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.